Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Anything But Ordinary Radio. I am your host, Michael McCleary, and I am so excited to have you with us today. We have a great show lined up. We have two great individuals, and I'm just excited today. Lots of good stuff going on. Lots of craziness in my life right now, all mostly good. But it's always interesting to have everyone with us, and we had a little fun with some technical issues beforehand again. But this is what makes life interesting. How are we doing, Maria?
We're doing great, though. You sound amazing, Michael.
Well, thank you. We'll have to chat after the show. I have another story to share with you, but we won't bore our listeners with that.
Good.
Well, one thing we like to do always, beginning of every show, is that we have our quote of the day. And my quote of the day, I like to have it go kind of along the show. And really today's show is talking about having an extraordinary journey. We all in our lives have this extraordinary journey that we're traveling day after day, hour after hour, month after month. It's this journey of life. And it can be whatever you choose it to be. If you want it to be exciting, it can be exciting. If you want it to be dreary, it can be dreary. And I hope that you choose, though, to have an exciting life, an extraordinary life, something that you love and enjoy doing every day. You find those moments in your day that you can just be thankful for the miracle of life. And so today's quote of the day comes from Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it reads, "What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us." And really that quote to me represents these two individuals that we're going to have on today, because it's their stories are definitely that. They have done so much. They are learning so much. I'm really proud to have both of them on. And I'm just excited for today. Maria, is there anything that you'd like to add really quickly before we move on to our guests?
I'm going to have to agree with you that things are kind of crazy around the world right now. But if you're one of these people like we are, Michael, that are on a path and focused and what I'm feeling is an amazing energy that's happening, and I'm very excited about it, and there's no coincidences that we're sharing this time together. So I'm excited about this ride, and all those that know me and understand what I'm talking about right now, and you're one of them, it's an exciting time, and crazy things are going to happen. But if we all continue to walk together and lock arms and join voices, I think we're in for an incredible rest of this year and next year.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I think anybody who's really kind of following just life in general and everything that's going on, it's seen all the conversations with people. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of people want to see changes go on in the world, see changes go on in their life, and I think we're at a crossroads right now, and I hope that we can be a facilitator in some way of people reevaluating what is going on in their life and asking those important questions. What does life mean to you? What is important to you? Why are you here? We all have a reason, a purpose for being here. We may not know what it is right now. We may be a little confused about that. But I can guarantee to everyone in our audience that you have a purpose. You're here for something important. You may not realize exactly what it is, but go out there and search for it, find it, pursue it, and live your days every day passionately. And so really quickly, too, I kind of left off the part of you're currently listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio with Michael McCleary and Maria DiGiovanni. We come to you every week, every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern. So please join us every week. Go into our archives. You can find out so much in our archives, all of our past guests. I love our guests. There's so much great information out there. And you can also join us in our chat room, which I just opened. I was a little late in doing that, but If you are currently listening, you can click on the little chat icon and you can go into our chat room. If you have a registered account with Blog Talk Radio, you can post questions in our chat room too, and we really encourage our listeners to do that, to ask questions of our guests, because we have great guests with great information. And our first guest, I'm going to go right into her, is Elizabeth Harrington Smith. She is a business coach. She is an intuitive. She is an all-around great lady. She is a good friend of mine. We have been friends for a long time. We, in fact, met each other working together for KNEG. And we worked together for, Elizabeth, what was it, about a year and a half?
Yeah, I guess it was about, almost a year and a half.
So we got to know each other really well. And of all the people in the world that I know, I mean, Elizabeth is just one of the most most remarkable ladies I know, because she does it all. I mean, I posted something.
Elizabeth, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. I think
we lost Michael.
We lost Michael.
Oh, no. Well, he was saying such nice things about me. I wonder what that means.
Well, we're going to kind of wing it here, so let's just keep going. Tell me, how did you meet Michael?
Well, Mike and I, we met about we've known each other. We worked together for about a year and a half. We worked with Candy G, and we did a little bit of everything. And for those of you who are fans of Candy G, she's all about thought transformation and positivity. And I think both of us really learned a lot from there. And one of the things I know that I took away from that experience, not only was it some great friends that I'm still really good friends with, but it was also the belief in myself to really live your passion and to go for what it is that you believe in. And so that's what I did. And when I left there, and I know Mike has taken the same journey, I decided to really live my passion and go for it and believe in myself that it's possible. So that is exactly what I'm doing. And
I'm back.
Yeah. And you're back. You know, Mike, I was just saying to Maria, I said, you're saying such nice things about me. What does that mean when you got cut off?
The universe was speaking to us in some way, I think, right there.
My ego. I guess my ego is getting in the way and just cut you right off, you know? But I was just telling...
go ahead.
We were winging it when I was just saying how one of the most amazing things we took away from working together was really the passion to believe in ourselves that really we can do anything we set our minds to do. And, you know, I took away some good friends, you being one of them. And I love your radio show. I'm so excited to see what you're doing with it, because it's so important to spread this kind of message to everybody that there is hope and there's more out there for you. And we may not see the big picture, because oftentimes we're just given little glimpses of what our purpose is, but you know, really just embracing what it is that we're supposed to be doing with our lives. So, and that's what I've been doing.
Oh, I agree with you. And in fact, and before I was cut off talking about you being a superwoman, but really, you know, that's the case. You're doing so many things. Elizabeth, you're out there, you're a business coach, you have kids that you have to take care of, are doing radio shows. I mean, you're out there doing a lot of stuff, and I'm really proud of everything that you've been doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I am a mom of two kids, two amazing kids that I'm very proud of. My little psychic intuitives, I like to call them, which sometimes gets me in trouble, but, I do. I wear lots of different hats, and I think one of the things that, I like about doing what I do, you know, I am a psychic intuitive. I'm finally out of the psychic closet, if you will. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm coming out of the closet. And she got really worried. And I'm like, no, I'm just coming. I'm telling everyone I'm a psychic. Everything's fine. But anyway, I love being able to help people. And so with that, I like to wear the different hats. You know, I do business coaching. I do life coaching for individuals. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs who are really kind of getting started in pursuing their dreams and their passion and not real sure in the business sense where to go. And so that's where I come in, and I kind of help guide them along that path and some of the steps that they need to take to get out there and get moving and get going. But I enjoyed the diversity of it, you know.
And before we get too much into what you're doing now, I'd kind of like to start a little bit at the beginning, because you were originally in corporate sales. You originally
did
a lot of sales, and you seemed to enjoy it, but you ended up moving, and a lot of things went on. What brought you from not necessarily going back into the sales world, but deciding you were going to use the skills that you had learned in the corporate world to become a coach and do all the things that you were doing? What prompted you to say, you know what, it's time for me to go out there and do this on my own?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I did. My background is corporate sales, and then when I moved here to the South Florida area where I live now, my husband and I bought a franchise business, and we started a small business. So we got out of corporate America and into owning and operating a small business, and I learned, boy, I really learned diving in head first what it takes to do that. And so what I realized is we have then since sold the business and we've moved on to different things, but I realized I did not want to go back into corporate America. What I realized is there was such a need for small businesses to have for marketing and for business, and I found that there was a need out there. And so really my diverse background came in really handy because I was able then to kind of go into a company, find out what their needs are, and then really try and help them, coach them in the right direction, help guide them into the ways that they needed to go. And a lot of intuition comes into play when it comes into that as well. You know, a lot of my clients are big believers in that. Some of them aren't. Some of them, you know, really are by the book, that sort of thing. But I couldn't go back to just that. I had that entrepreneurial spirit within me, you know, that creativity that we have. And so that creative spirit, I had to draw into that and realize that's where my passion is, that I love helping others. And in sales, I took it as I was helping them sell more of whatever products they wanted to sell and needed to sell. And so I just wanted to be able to do that for a different type of individual and client, I guess.
And on the other side, too, is this not only the business side of everything that you do, but there is the intuitive side. And we got a comment in our chat room. And just encourage people to use our chat room because we love to have interaction. It's fun
Absolutely.
To play in a chat room, too. Harry Shade said he loved the coming out of the closet comment. And I like that. And I want to do a question that kind of goes along with that. How did you come to understand that you had a real ability there, and what was that like? What was it like coming to terms with that?
Well, one of the things that's really interesting is that, you know, I grew up just like everybody who's out there listening. You know, I did not have a near-death experience. I did not have, ghosts or spirits or entities visiting me in the night. I didn't have any, like, really major profound things. And when you read a lot of the books that are out there and a lot of the people who are out there in the forefront of this industry, that's what, you know, they've had these near-death experiences and then they had this calling. For me, it was definitely more of a subtle shift. And it was, looking back at my life as a child, I knew things that I didn't know how I knew them, but it wasn't anything that was so major that I thought, wow, I'm psychic. You know, it was just one of those, wow, I knew that was going to happen. You know, everybody's got that. Everybody has this intuition within them. But something happened to me in 2005 when I moved here to South Florida, and I started seeing this friend of mine, and I would see her at the grocery store, and I would see her as I'm driving in the car, and I saw her places, and I called a friend of mine. I said, gosh, I need to get Sally's number from you because I see her all the time, and I go to say hello, and then she's gone, or I got distracted, or whatever. And my friend says to me, oh, my goodness, I forgot to tell you that Sally, she died. She passed away. And so then I realized there's more to this than just what's there. And so I didn't realize that my life, I had been seeing people who had passed over, but it looked like I was seeing regular people. So I started really kind of finding out more about it, and I started reading books, and I just started taking classes, doing everything I could to get the information in my brain and to figure out what was really going on. And I realized that there's definitely there's intuition. We have intuition. As a mom, we have that mother's intuition. As a dad, Mike, I know you're very strong intuition. You just know things. You don't know why you know them, or you feel things, or sometimes you hear something like, okay, stay in that lane, and you know to stay in that lane. And there's so many stories out there that I fought it for a long time, because literally this has been going on since 2005, I guess. So for the last 5 years, I really had been fighting it, because there's such a stigma attached to it as being weird and gypsy-like, and there's, you know, all this kind of crazy stuff. And so I went inside, I started channeling information, I started getting things, and I went to
Okay. Hold on.
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here. Okay, I'm going to continue with my story. You know, sometimes the energy, you know, it kind of backs up in technology sometimes. But anyway, you know, so I went and got a reading from a panel of intuitives.
Idea. I mean, we haven't talked yet, so keep going.
Okay. Anyway, you know, so I got a reading from a panel of intuitives, and what I found was, as they were giving me the information, I'd already written down the information. I had channeled the information myself, and not just in general, it was word for word. So I knew there was something to this. And so I started to really channel messages for myself to find out, what is my purpose? Where am I supposed to go? How am I supposed to help other people? And really what I'm meant to do is to, you know, come out of the psychic closet, if you will, and do readings and do messages for people and help people with healings, and to do that, but do it in a way that's my own. I don't have to be a gypsy style. I don't have to be, you know, I'm a mom of two. I'm very, you know, I have a good sense of humor. I love to laugh. I love to live. I'm not serious, and I'm, you know, chanting ohms all the time. I eat chips just like the rest of everybody else. I just, so, you know, for me, it was really, it's important for me to get my message out there, but in a way that's still me. So that's what I've been doing, and embracing that.
Very good. Did Michael come back?
I don't think
yes,
he came.
Oh,
okay. There you are.
Michael,
I'm in and
it's
out.
Okay. We totally get it, what's going on.
Yes.
So there's a certain amount of energy that happens when you, yeah, I get it. It's interesting that you chose.
I'm shorting the phone
open
out today. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's interesting that you chose to come out of the psychic closet.
Right.
There's a, in the quote unquote Christian community, that's something that we're not supposed to do.
Right.
But spiritual powers or spiritual gifts is what I call them, are spiritual gifts. And how you choose to open that umbrella is certainly a person's choice. But I
right.
totally understand that it can be used for good. And it's a lot of responsibility when you finally take on
it is.
That to go ahead and open those spiritual gifts to help other people. So I congratulate you for doing that.
Thank you.
We just have opened them up in two different umbrellas.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. And it is all what resonates with you. You know, I think that, you know, as far as religious views go, I mean, there's a place for everything. And what I like to work with is the angelic realm and working with angels, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah,
I mean, you can call it whatever you want.
Well,
but if you look in, no matter what religion that's out there, there are
exactly.
references to angels in all those cases. So for me, I find that it's, you know, it's such a higher loving being, powerful kind of entity that
Thank
for
you.
Me, I really resonate mm-hmm. with that. And that's kind of what, you know, I host a radio show as well called Angel Hour Radio. And so, you know, again, just working with the angels and the angelic realm
yeah.
and helping.
Absolutely no doubt. When I was a child going through all the stuff that I was going through, and I always remembered looking in the corner of the room whenever anything
right.
was going on, okay? And in the corner of the room, there was always a female angel, and I knew she was a female
Aww.
Because you could see her figure. I could just
right.
never see her face. So there is no doubt, because there has always been an angel in my corner, and she's
always been there.
And so I totally understand, and it doesn't have anything to do with religion. It definitely has to do with a higher power and who is in control of all of this. So congratulations
exactly.
to you. Bravo.
Thank you. You know, that's a good title of your next book, you know, Angel in My Corner.
Yeah, I've already been there.
By the way.
I'm already doing it.
Okay, good. Just so you know.
Yep. That's why you're getting so much energy going on around you right now, Michael.
I know. That's exactly right.
Thank you. All righty. Now I'm at a total loss for words. Thanks, Maria.
I know.
So tell me how, for you, how it works melding the two together.
Well, it is an interesting mix.
The business world and this intuitive kind of, because like you said, you have some clients that are like, no, I just give me your regular business advice.
Yeah.
Others
that
say, yeah, I want to have the whole package. So,
it is interesting because, you know, there's probably business out there that I don't get because they're like, okay, she's a Fruit Loop. But you know, most of the time, the people that I'm drawn to by coincidence or no coincidence, if you will, they are really interested in all of that, you know. And I think a lot of times there's businesses out there saying, hey, I need this information and I'm drawn to you, I'm drawn to your work, I'm drawn to your energy, I like the people that you've worked with before, and I think you can help me, and hey, if I'm getting help from the other side, that's even better, you know. So it is a fine line, and like I said, there are people who really are not, who won't gravitate towards it, but they're, most of the time I find people are really intrigued by it, and they really want to know more about it. And because like Maria or like somebody you've had some sort of encounter, if you will, or some sort of brush with the spiritual realm. And so most people have had that in some way, shape, or form. So there is an interest in that. But like I said, it's not like I go into a business meeting, you know, wearing my flowy gowns and that sort of thing. I don't. You know, I'm a business person. I wear regular clothes. I'm not the gypsy type. I just go in and here's the information. And that's how I approach the other side, too. That's how I approach the psychic part of it as well, is that, you know, here I'm a mom of two. I've got regular problems just like the rest of you, even though I feel like I'm tapped into, you know, but I do. It's, you know, we're human. So, it's a fine line where some businesses, they really are like, okay, we're going to stay away from that. But most of the time, they're more intrigued.
Well, and a question that kind of goes along with this is, tell me a little bit about just the reaction that goes along with friends of yours, et cetera, because particularly a lot of people will look at, like you said, about the whole aspect of talking about being a psychic or an intuitive. A lot of people get really nervous about that, and there's a lot of people
that
have sort of preconceived notions about it that say, oh, it's the work of the devil, whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
So, How do you deal with that and what do you say to someone who just says, you know what you're doing is wrong? What's your answer to them on that question?
Well, you know what's interesting is that when I finally felt secure enough to say, okay, this is a part of me and this is who I am, and if you can't accept it, then okay, but really this, I have to live this, I have to be true to this, and this goes for anything in your life, you know, whatever it is. And sometimes the hardest things to tell people, and I tell you, the hardest person to tell that this is what I was going to be doing was my mother, because my mom thinks, you know, I mean, she thinks that I'm still flying around the room on a broom, you know, so, you know, and I can't just get rid of my mom, you know, like I can't say, all right, mom, we've been friends for so long, see you later, you know, this is my family. And so that was a hard thing to do, but I will tell you, I have not come, everybody like that I've come in contact with has really found it kind of interesting or has an interest in it, or most of them are closet type of people as well that have been afraid to even talk about it with anybody. So when I finally did say, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, most everybody have really embraced it. And I really find that my friends have just all kind of gravitated to it. And I've got some friends who are very, very religious who, you know, who I thought would have the biggest problem with it, who really don't. And, you know, they know me and they believe in me. So I have had one encounter who I, you know, wanted to really get into an argument about the work and the devil's work and all of that. And, you know, I really just, I said, everybody has their own beliefs, and I try and live by the four agreements, you know, if you will, where I just don't take anything personally, or try not to anyway. And, you know, so, yeah, and that's how you have to do it. You know, to be true to yourself, you have to not worry about what other people are going to think. You have to just be okay and embrace it within yourself and, you know, kind of let the chips fall where they might. But really, I haven't had that much. I haven't had a real problem with that. Everybody has seemed to really kind of embrace it. A lot of them have gravitated towards it. There are some friends who I'm not quite as close with as I used to be, but I think that kind of comes with whatever you're doing.
I think, Michael, a lot of it has to do with ignorance. And,
true.
And until you get to a place where, because again, we're very much the same, but we are very much opposite as well, okay? But I understand, and there's no ignorance here. And I want to congratulate you for finally doing this and moving forward and using your gifts and talents. But people out there that are ignorant, they need to do the research and understand that we are all under one God. And this is
right,
still under
absolutely.
One God. And whatever, it's no different than if you were under the Buddha umbrella, okay? It really is no different. And that's why when we're out there helping, this doesn't have anything to do with religion. And
right, no, it really doesn't.
Me what I am or what I'm not, I just haven't put a label on it. Yeah, and I'm in love with the Lord Christian, but this what both of us are doing have nothing to do with religion. It has to do for the betterment of people out there.
Absolutely. It's spreading love and joy
exactly.
and peace and light and all
exactly.
of that. Right.
And
right.
Don't let ignorance stop you and don't let fear stop you. And if you continue
right.
to choose what it is that you choose and it's giving you the energy that you need it to give you, then God bless you.
Right. It took a while for me really to embrace it because of the fear of what everyone else would think. And I finally got to a place where, you know what, it doesn't matter what anyone thinks. I need to do this because this is the right thing to do for me. And if they can't, you know, we'll have to deal with it as it comes up. I can't worry about what coulda, shoulda, or might be. So
you can't. Ignorance.
No, you really
ignorance.
Can't. Right, right.
Michael?
No, it was great. It's a great conversation. We're almost out of time for this segment.
Oh, no.
So I want to ask you. I know. It went by fast, didn't it?
It does.
I want to ask you a last question, and it's really one I ask most of our guests, and that is because you are someone who's gone through a lot of changes in your life. You seem to be.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, not seem to be. I know you're. It's probably one of the happiest times you've been in your life.
Yes.
For people who are looking for that happiness, who are looking to change their life, who are looking to do something
mm-hmm.
different, I know they need to make a change, but they don't know how
mm-hmm.
to do it. What is your advice to them?
You know, I think the best thing to do is to know that, you know what, life is going to give you some stuff, and some of it's good and some of it's crappy, and it's all how you choose to deal with it and to live with it. And you know, you don't go down a sad road and end up in a happy place. So choose to be happy in these moments, no matter what it is that life has handed you. I mean, and if you can find that peacefulness and that happiness within, no matter what's going on, you will end up in your happy place because you're already there. And so embrace it however you can, whatever makes you happy and however you find your joy, whether it's music, whether it's friends, whether it's whatever it is, then the crappy stuff doesn't seem so crappy. So, that's not a technical term, by the way. So, you know.
That's a great term, though.
It is.
We call
crappy.
But what are the things that one of the things that I had to learn was that happiness is a choice. It's not an emotion.
It is. Total choice. It really is.
You have to choose to be happy. It's
you do.
Not an emotion, so it's a choice.
No. You know, if I have just a quick second to share this story, you know, I was I went to a party. It was downtown in West Palm Beach, and I was at it was at like a restaurant bar, and I started a tab with my credit card, and I was leaving the very next day to go to out of town, and so I go to cash out my check, and the bartender had given my credit card, which happened to be my debit card, which I know is not the smartest thing to do, but anyway, it was my debit card, but they had given it to somebody else, and they'd left, I don't know, an hour before I did. So, you know, in that moment, you can choose to be, oh my gosh, and make it a miserable thing, or you can choose to be like, okay, this is just one of those things that comes at you that you cannot let it ruin your night. Well, I chose not to let it ruin my night, and what happened was I ended up getting a free meal because they picked up my tab. They gave me a $50 gift certificate to come back. I literally the next day was able to walk into my bank. They issued me a credit, my debit card right then and there. So it was nothing. But if I chose to let it ruin my entire night, it could have. And so life is just a choice, and I choose to be happy. I choose to live like happy.
Yep. Attitude is everything.
Well, listen.
Once that changes, everything changes.
It really does.
Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. I'm so glad
had
you on. And really quickly,
yes.
Right before I let you go, can you please share with our audience where they can find out more about you?
Yes, you can find out about me. I have a website. It's 2BelieveWithin. It's the number 2BelieveWithin.com. It has information about me. And I have a radio show you can listen to tonight. It's Angel Hour Radio. You can find out all the information on my website. And they can get a hold of me if you want a reading or coaching, whatever. I do phone readings, and I work with people all over the country. And that's it. But the best place is my website. So, again, the number 2. BelieveWithin.com, and then you can be my friend on Facebook. Come be my friend. Give you all the information about me.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us. Maria, do you have anything last to add before we let Elizabeth go?
It was a pleasure to meet you, and you know,
you
God
as
bless
well.
All the people that you touch, and
thank you. You guys are doing
a wonderful journey.
Thank you. You guys are doing an amazing job with your radio show, so I appreciate the opportunity to be on here and keep up all the good work.
Thank you, Elizabeth. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. You are just listening to Elizabeth Harrington Smith here on Anything But Ordinary Radio. And we come to you every week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, here on Blog Talk Radio at www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. If you'd like to find more about the show, about the documentary, about everything else we're doing, you can find me not only on Facebook and Maria on Facebook, but you can also find out more about us at the website www.anythingbutordinary.net. And Maria, before we bring on our next guest, is there anything you'd like to share before we move on?
I just want to, again, it's important for people not to be ignorant about the different realms that are out there in the spiritual world, but spiritual gifts are pretty intense. And they're all there in the Bible, just like they're all there probably in the Quran, but I've never read that. And I just want people to understand that we all have them. Nobody is. You just have to get in tune with them. And that's what Tony Robbins does, and that's what your pastor tries to do. And just that, you know, before you start pointing fingers at people, then you have to learn what it's all about. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, and without further ado, our next guest, I'm sure I'll have a little bit to say about all of this, and our next guest is Anthony Wemyss, and I had the privilege of meeting him working on a film here in Detroit called The Syriana Tate Interview, and I'm not going to go into the film, really, just because it's still under wraps, it's still under production, but a really great, great individual. He has a great story, too. A little bit about Anthony is that he was born and raised in Australia. He currently lives in L.A., and he has been a soldier in the Army Reserve. He is a police officer and a detective sergeant. He took 2 years of training in the university studying accounting, management, and economics. He's also trained in massage, clinical hypnosis, meditation, and nutrition, and of course is a aspiring actor who, let me tell you, this guy is really, really good. From what I saw on set, Anthony is amazing, and I'm really glad to get to know him better, and I'm so excited to have him on the show. Anthony, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thanks, mate. I appreciate being invited on.
Well, you know, it's are you gonna get a call in pretty soon to your
I'm on set,
what?
But my scene doesn't come up for probably another hour or so. By the way, they're a little bit behind schedule.
Okay, well, good, because that was one of my concerns. Was Anthony and I had this conversation the other day. Just you may get called on the set in the middle of the interview, but thank
yeah,
you so much for coming.
I could have acted through the phone.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into all this. I mean, because really, Anthony, you've got this crazy background that has so many different things in it. What has brought you from Australia to L.A. and really everything that you're doing now? Because you've done a lot in your life.
I have done a lot. I was just listening to your intro, and I thought, wow, I've done a lot in my life, haven't I? It's quite funny. I don't know. It's just like this journey that I seem to be dragged, not so much kicking and screaming, but just being dragged along. It's like the more I surrender to this, I guess, force, if you like, dragging me along, the more fun I'm having. It's an interesting one. It's like being in the police force and the Army Reserve was all fun and games, but I guess in my soul it wasn't really what I wanted to do. It gave me certain tools, it gave me certain skills, it gave me certain appreciation of life. Like actually being a cop is actually one of the most fascinating things that I've ever experienced, because you see both sides of life. You see, I guess, the dark and the light, but sometimes the light is actually darker than the dark. It's very
Thank
interesting.
You.
It's an interesting dichotomy that sometimes the victims of crime are actually worse than the offenders. It's quite fascinating to see the different sides of people. And eventually what I learned was that everyone's the same. Whether you're a pedophile, a murderer, or a so-called saint, you're the same person. It's just different actions, different things that you do. And that kind of led me, I think, just more into the counseling and the meditation and the hypnosis and the massage, just dealing with people in a totally different way, more, I guess, more intimate than being a cop. And somehow that led me to being an actor. Somehow that led me to L.A.
And a very good actor indeed.
Yeah, and it's been a fascinating journey. To me, it's just an ongoing spiritual journey. And it's just something that I keep being grateful for every single day. It's like, wow, I get to play with this today, and I get to play with that. And I have no idea where it's going to lead. Maybe I'll finish up acting. Well, I'm doing writing as well, and a bit of producing, so maybe that's the newest direction.
So what is the next thing for you? What is it that you really, right now, what is it that you really love in your life? What is it that you have a real passion for that you want to continue doing, or maybe you haven't even done yet?
I guess the thing I love to do is to challenge people to see the world a different way, to break out of their, I guess, mindsets, their belief systems, their patterns, their ideas. And to me, writing movies that depict that or producing movies that depict that is kind of my ultimate goal, is I guess, you know, like the Avatar movie hits people in a certain way, and it, you know, a billion people see the movie and get catalyzed by it. And that's the type of, I guess, movie that I'd like to make eventually. It's something that can catalyze people in a way where they go, ah, I don't have to do this way, or I can do this way, or I can change the way I see the world. I guess that's my, you know, the way I do things in life, is just to poke buttons and push people around a bit sometimes, and just to change things. Sometimes really.
Maria,
that's fine.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Anthony. You can finish your thought. I thought you were.
No, that's fine. I'm finished. My thought finished.
Maria, I know you're itching to ask a question. I can just feel it across the airwaves.
Actually, after my question, I'm gonna. I didn't know you were in LA until this morning. So welcome to LA. How was it for you traveling from Australia and making the adjustment over here, especially coming from the perspective of being a law enforcement officer? How different is it here?
You're talking about the transition from Australia to America. Is that the question?
Yes.
I don't find it that much different. We've got McDonald's, we've got Burger King, we've got Starbucks, we've got all your foreign imports over in Australia.
And no White Castle, though. No White Castle, though, Anthony.
No White Castle, thank God. I ate White Castle when I was in Michigan recently, and I won't swear,
I've
right?
Never,
that was one of the worst things I've ever tasted. Some people
In-N-Out
love
is better, Michael.
What was
I
that,
like
Maria?
That
I'm sorry.
So we have In-N-Out out here, and I've never had a White Castle, so you need to try In-N-Out.
Yeah, I haven't tried In-N-Out. That was I actually lived on that for the first couple of months because I couldn't find anything healthy. So, might sound like a contradiction, but in answer to your question, excuse me, my voice is dying. It's actually not much of a transition. I think it's more of an emotional thing. If you decide on something that it's easy, then it's easy. I've got friends that can't stand America, can't stand Americans, can't stand people in general. I think. So they don't enjoy living in America, whereas I just made a decision that I loved America, I loved Americans, and that's been reflected back in my life.
Very good.
Choices, as the previous person said.
Exactly. Now, when you were in law enforcement, what tools did you get there in order to launch you into what you're doing now, specifically?
I don't know. I guess you're constantly playing different roles. You're playing the bad guy, you're playing the good guy, you're playing the mean guy, you're playing the nice guy, you're playing a bunch of different roles depending on the situation. Sometimes you've got to take charge, sometimes you've got to sit back, sometimes you've got to be soft and gentle, sometimes you've got to be hard and aggressive. I guess it's you kind of flesh out all the different aspects of your character constantly at being a cop. It's quite fascinating. Some cops I know stick on one path. They're like the aggressive asshole all the time, or you know, they just stick on that one path, or they play the nice guy. You know, but I think it's fun more to play all the different roles and different characters.
Yeah, it's an interesting way of putting it. I was married to law enforcement for 18 years, and I've never thought about it that way. But that's an interesting way of putting it. They become actors. So that's interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, I never actually thought of it till I was exploring the acting that's what I actually have been doing my whole life is acting, but just in different ways. Even as a massage therapist, you become an actor. You take on different roles based on the clients that come in the door. Some like to be, you know, firm massage. Some like soft. Some even as a counselor, it's sometimes like a more aggressive approach. Sometimes like a soft approach. It's just depends on that particular client. I think it's using your intuition to kind of feel out what it is about the situation that character's needed.
So, Anthony, tell me a little bit about getting into acting. Because, like I said, you've done a lot of different things in your life, and you've continued as you said, you know, you feel you have this journey that you're supposed to go on, and the more you let it happen, the more you find the things that you feel you're supposed to do with your life. And there's a lot of people out there in the world that don't know what they're supposed to do with it. They're trapped in the cycle of either being unhappy, not knowing what they're supposed to do next, or what life is supposed to be for them. But you found a way to kind of work through that and find the things that you're passionate about and continue with them. What is it you think for you that opened up that door of understanding for you to continue to follow your passion and not just be stuck in one place?
Yeah, I've often thought about this. It's hard for me to figure it out. I guess it became clarified when I did a bit of work with a guy called John DeMartini, who was one of the most amazing teachers I've ever worked with. And he basically, his mantra is, do what you love to do and you'll get paid, I can't remember the exact wording, but it's like, do what you love to do and you get paid handsomely for it. You'll get as much money as you'll ever need. And most people, I think, are more afraid to let go of what they've got in order to explore what they could do. That's more the thing, that they think they don't know, but if they actually let go of where they're at, they'll find that universe, God, whatever label you want to put on it, starts to let things into your life. And I think I just, around 1992, I just started to let things in. I started to let go of the idea that the police force was for me forever. I just had to move into a different space, and then all of a sudden all these different things start happening, which some of them were quite traumatic, but they enabled me to see it in a different way that I just knew that I had to change. And then even when I was in massage and the counseling, there was part of me that, no, this is not right. There's just something not right. Even though I'm enjoying what I'm doing, I'm still got to find this thing, and that's when the acting sort of came in, which kind of started to resonate on a deeper level. Even though I didn't think it was right at the time, it just started to build and build and build. So I don't think it has to be this mind-blowing epiphany of, oh my God, I have to do this thing. Some people will have that, I'm sure, but I think it's something that if you let it burn away slowly and strip away some of the layers and the junk that's around that, the core of that thing, it's more finding out what it is. Like, do you want to serve people? Do you want to help people? Do you want to make a product that helps the world? I think the more you take it onto a global level of how can I serve humanity with what I do, even if it's being a gardener, then you start to tease out and see exactly what it is that you're really passionate about and capable of.
So when you look back at your life, and you mentioned traumatic experiences, because we go through that, I think a lot of times people get upset about that and focus on the trauma, not necessarily the good things that can come through it. But when you look back at your life and you look at all these things that have happened, can you see how things just fit together the way they were supposed to do? I mean, you look back and go, wow, there was really kind of a journey here that I was meant to walk on, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I think that's the key that I needed to get and had that awakening, was that there is no imperfections in the universe. There's nothing that's not meant to happen. It's like, I'm sure there's choices and ways of exploring different things, but at the end of the day, on reflection, if you look back at your life and you have regrets, then you're still denying that aspect of your life that's grown. I wish I hadn't have been molested. I wish I hadn't have got run over by a truck. I wish I hadn't have lost my job. I wish I hadn't have left my life. If you start to say those things, then you're negating how the good that's come out of all those experiences. And I think that's just been my, I guess, learning over the last 5 years, that there's nothing that's not, inverted commas, good for you. And there's nothing that's actually bad for you either. It's just all perfection.
I'm going to have to agree with you, because, again, when I share my story and I tell people automatically, 5.5 years ago I was raped, the first response they give me is, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. But you just made it very clear that actually it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it threw all my puzzle pieces to my life on the table. So I agree with you 100%. No matter what happens to you, you've got to look at how it's going to change your life to the positive and the lesson that you learn from it.
Exactly. I think that's the key. Like, I came to America at the time, it was the recession. It was, everything was down. The film industry was on its knees. And I think you can say, well, that's a bad thing. Well, no, that actually just, you didn't find where all your resources are. What can I do to survive? How can I make this thing happen? So it's just challenges on a different level. There's challenges and there's supports, and they're always there. It's just finding them.
Well said. Maria, did you have another question?
No, I'm just really paying attention right now.
It's all fun. At the end of the day, it's all fun. It's like, I don't have a goal of happiness, which might people sound like, what? You don't have a goal of happiness? I'm like, no, I just have a goal of being content. I think if I'm embracing the sadness as much as the happiness, then happiness and sadness will just keep flowing, and I'm not attached to staying in one or the other. I'm happy being an actor, but I'm also very upsetting and very sad sometimes. You get rejected every day. You worry about your looks in the mirror. You worry about that extra grey hair. You worry about the wrinkles. You worry about if you're speaking a funny accent and they can't understand you. It's all these factors, and that's with everything. It's like I think that's one of the things when people go for goals, is that they don't set up all the negatives. I often have said that to people when they're like making a big vision or a big goal. It's like, tell me all the negatives. I'm like, no, I don't want to know the negatives. I'm like, no, tell me the negatives. And I'm like, why? And I'm saying, as soon as you know the negatives, as soon as you come up against those hurdles, you've already dealt with them in your mind. So you can just keep leaping over them. But most people, if they're afraid to deal with the negatives of their goal, as soon as they hit that hurdle, they back off and go, oh, that wasn't supposed to be there. So they naturally pull back from their mission, from their goal. So you really have to focus on the negative sometimes, which is often contrary to the kind of the New Age philosophy of focusing on the positive thinking all the time. It's just having that.
Wouldn't you say that that's the reason why most entrepreneurs are really good starters, but they're terrible finishers?
Possibly. I think most of the successful companies do what's called a SWOT analysis, which is their strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. So they sit down and basically feel out where their weaknesses are and where their biggest threats are to their company, so they can deal with things. And entrepreneurs, I think, sometimes they're so big on their vision that they're not good on the nuts and bolts, the tiny little bits. So I think it's been allowing more people in there to support your vision, perhaps, than anything else, is actually enabling your vision to be felt by others. I'm not sure. I haven't really been a big entrepreneur myself, but it's hard to tell.
Anthony, tell me a little bit about, this is a new question. I never asked this from anybody else, and it just came to me. So you're the first one I get to try this out on.
Cool.
You're the guinea pig. Exciting, right? What makes your life extraordinary? What in your life is extraordinary?
Extraordinary. Does that just like mean extraordinary? Extra boring? no. My visa to come to this country says actor of extraordinary ability. I guess not being satisfied, perhaps, with where I'm at, or which might sound odd that you're not might sound like you're not at peace, but I'm at peace, but I'm always looking for the next area of growth, perhaps, the next thing I can deal with, which some people say I overanalyze too much. I don't know. I don't think necessarily I'm extraordinary. I just think I'm a guy that's doing what he's doing and is just being dragged along on this journey and is not resisting that being pulled along. So maybe that makes you extraordinary. I don't know.
Well, I like that answer. No, actually, I really like that answer because it goes along with a lot of people I've talked to in regards to that answer. You know, I believe all of us, like you were talking before, you know, there's really no difference between all of us. I mean, we have our unique traits, of course, but we're all the same in so many ways. We're all ordinary. I don't care if you're a guy sweeping the street or you're the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar corporation. There's so much about us, more about us that's the same than what is different. To me, what makes an extraordinary life is finding those moments and understanding who and what you are and what you're supposed to do and just following that dream and passion, you know, every day.
Yeah, I remember someone talking about acting scenes, like the way to make a good scene in a movie is basically to have ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Because we are all ordinary people, and when we see ordinary people doing extraordinary things, we get inspired. Whereas if you see Superman doing extraordinary things, you're like, you know what, Superman?
Yeah, so what?
You can catch bullets. but the most fascinating things are when you have people like at the end of their tether coming back to life, or they're in a war situation and they're like afraid to die, and then suddenly they realize it's not their body. Who gives a crap about the body? Let's just run and attack the trenches and not care whether we die or not. And those sort of things like just really inspire us to see things in a different way.
Well said. And my final question for you, Anthony, is the one I asked Elizabeth. For people who are in a place in their life where they're looking to do something different, or they already know they're supposed to do something different, but they're trying to put everything together like all of us are, what is your recommendation on making a change in your life? What should people do from your experience?
I think it's discovering your values. What's your value? Like, look around your house. What's in your house? Look around your life. Like, what is the thing you're drawn to? Are you drawn to artwork? Are you drawn to poetry? Are you drawn to helping the little kiddies in the neighborhood? Are you drawn to, I don't know, making music or listening to music? It's like finding those things in your life that you're just drawn to consistently, and then trying to work out a way to make income out of it so you can basically first, life will survive, if you want to. I don't like to use that word survive, but to obtain income. There was a story I heard about this woman who did tango dancing, and she went to this teacher and said, I love tango, but I just don't know what to do. I don't know how I could possibly make that a career. And he says, well, do you know lots of people in tango? And she's like, yeah. He says, well, could you organize like 50 people? And she said, yeah, easily. And he said, well, find out where the greatest tango dancers are in the world. She said, well, they're all in Brazil or Spain. He says, well, just organize tours to Spain and Brazil and wherever, all over the world to do tango. And so she did. And now she earns thousands of dollars a month organizing tours all over the world for tango dancers. And now she's got her life. So it just took a man just to give a different perspective on her passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's there for all of it.
Great insight there, Anthony. I love that one. Maria, any questions for Anthony before we go? We got a couple more minutes left.
I'm going to be in a networking meeting tomorrow, Anthony, that I would like to invite you to in Hollywood or in L.A.
Okay. Just depends on my
Wilshire.
I'm still shooting. I'm still shooting tomorrow, but I could probably. What time is it?
10:10 Wilshire in downtown L.A. Anytime after 7.
Okay, well, that could work. Yeah, I could squeeze in that maybe.
Yeah.
Well, you guys get together and
yeah,
talk about it.
I'm going to let him coach me to the next level, Michael.
There you go.
So
I know you two get along really well.
Yeah, I think so.
Anthony, real quickly, yeah, before we go, where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and keep track of you?
Good question. I was going to say my website, but I'm really bad at updating my website because I'm not passionate about my website, which is anthonyweems.com, W-E-M-Y-S.com. But then I have another one called mindbodyevolution.com, which is sort of a carryover from when I was doing massage and counseling, which I don't tend to do a lot of anymore. And then there's Facebook, I guess. yeah, so I guess it's a matter of putting my name in Google, perhaps, and hunting me down.
Well, everybody, go check him out. I mean, a really great guy. And I'm so glad to have you on the show now before you are incredibly famous.
My pleasure.
Let me tell you.
This is a low-budget movie.
Yeah.
If you keep your eye out for a movie called Wedding Day, we'll just hope it actually makes it into the DVD section or Netflix or something at some stage.
No, you just have to know that it's going to hit it. Come on.
Exactly. Happens when it's meant to.
It will. And thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure,
it has been great.
Anytime.
Oh, well, I'll take you up on that since you said it.
Cool. I had fun. It was good.
Great. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you again for joining us.
All right.
And we appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was Anthony Weems, and he is a really great guy and a great actor. Please visit his website, Anthony Weems, WEMYSS.com, to find out more about him. You can also find him on Facebook for anyone who's a Facebook friend of mine. Or if you just want to, feel free to send me an email if you don't know how to get a hold of him or you don't remember. Please go to mike@anythingbutordinary.net. You can send me an email right there. Maria, any thoughts on the show before we take off for the day?
You know what? I think it was a fantastic show, and it was exactly what I needed to hear because there's a whole bunch going on that I haven't shared with you. And moving from one country to another country takes a lot of courage, so I congratulate him for doing that. And I may be doing that soon, Michael.
Oh, really?
So
well, we have a conversation now.
Well, that's why, you know, my family's home is up for sale in Greece. And I'm actively looking for investors to, I want to go buy it and open a cafe. I mean, what greater opportunity and what a life-changing experience for Miss Cosmos, the largest title in the country, to move to Greece to help my family and help them not lose this house and start a whole new life. I could do the show from there. Woohoo!
You can, and it gives me a good place to visit for a vacation.
Exactly. So, yeah. So this show, I needed to hear it, and hopefully I've sent all the messages out that I'm looking for these angel investors, and they'll come to me, and wow, won't that just be an anything but ordinary journey for me?
It will. And if any of our listeners have questions, feel free to send me an email, like I said before, and I will make sure to put you in contact with Maria. And I agree with you, Maria. A great show. I love the show. It's always interesting how things just happen the way they do. A lot of things going on, me thinking, talking to people, a lot of stuff going on. This show also, it fit perfect. So I appreciate our guests. I thank all of our listeners for joining us. We're here every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. Next week, Extraordinary Men. Come join us next week. We're going to talk to some extraordinary men, what makes them extraordinary. And also, for all the women in our audience, any questions you have about a man, here's your chance to ask them. So thank you again. Please join us again for Anything But Ordinary Radio next week. We will see you then. Go out and be extraordinary.